So Far From Home, The Diary of Mary Driscoll, An Irish Mill Girl, by Barry Denenberg. Pages 66 through 83. Friday, July 9th, 1847, Lowell. Mrs. Abbott's house is so near the mills, we were able to walk there. On the way, Kate reminded me to be polite and respectful. I told her I hoped I would be acceptable, which caused her to laugh. She said I should not concern myself with that. The Yankee girls are leaving faster than they are coming, she said. Mr. Abbott is eager to replace them with as many Irish girls as he can, because the Irish won't complain about things the way the Yankee girls do. What things, I wondered, but spoke not a word. The bright red brick building is so tall, it seems to reach the sky. I never dreamed earthly hands could make anything that big. It looked to me like all the people in Ireland could fit inside. 'Twas like a fortress. There were smokestacks blowing their blackness heavenward and darkening the sky. I felt cold, although the day was warm. A shudder rippled through my body. There is nothing to be afraid of, I told myself. What could be worse than what I had already seen back in Ireland? I had to go through those gates. The guard led us to see Mr. Fowler. He is the oddest-looking man, bald as a crow he is. The sunlight from the window above fell on his hairless head, causing it to glow. Kate told him that I was Mary Driscoll, the girl Mr. Abbott mentioned. I think she was ashamed to say I was her sister. Mr. Fowler looked at me like the doctor did in Boston Harbor. I wonder, does everyone in America look at you this way? Could I write my name, he asked. I told him I could. He handed me a paper and showed me where to sign, which I did without reading what it said. I was too afraid. I start Monday in spinning room number 3. Kate left just as soon as she delivered me to Aunt Nora. Only Irish live in the acre, she said as we neared. 'Tis planned. She doesn't like being in this part of Lowell. In such a rush she was that her heels nearly touched her head when she left. The acre is not far from the mills, but it might as well be on the other side of the ocean. The roads are narrow, twisting and muddy, not like the roads where Mrs. Abbott lives. The houses are crowded together, and goats, geese, chickens, and pigs roam everywhere. There are no houses such as Mrs. Abbott's in the acre. There must be two Lowells, one where Mrs. Abbott lives and one where Aunt Nora lives. Perhaps there are two Americas. T'was sad to see that Aunt Nora uses a cane because of her bad leg. Don't let it trouble you, child, she said when I asked her how she was feeling. First come and give us a hug. Hasn't it been ever so long a time? I've missed you terrible. Why, bless us and save us, quiet one. 'Tis a pure joy to behold your angelic face. How lovely you've become. I've been as lonely as a church mouse these past 6 years, but now that you are here, I'll be lonely no more. Seeing Aunt Nora made me feel safe for the first time since I left home. I am glad my coming to America is a help and not a burden. I held back the tears from my eyes. Aunt Nora said that she knew it must be hard, but that we would care for each other. Just then, the Delaneys came home. They are Aunt Nora's boarders. Mrs. Delaney is old. Her face wears a thousand wrinkles, and her hair looks matted and dirty. Her son, John, looks like he wouldn't say boo to a goose. She's afflicted with the kind of complaint no one can understand. Aunt Nora said after they had gone into the other room, Mrs. Delaney helps Aunt Nora care for the two pigs. Once in a while, she gives a good sweeping to the kitchen. Mr. Delaney disappeared 2 years ago, and she and John have been staying with Aunt Nora ever since. Mr. Delaney was the laziest rogue that ever wore clothes and was fed. Aunt Nora said that she thinks Mrs. Delaney is better off without him. Now he won't be pouring the family's money down his throat all day, but she was left with a heavy handful. It's her son, John, that Aunt Nora calls a heavy handful. The boy's a little daft, though not totally useless. 'Twas him that was 'Twas him that whitewashed the cottage, and all by himself, I might add. But he acts like something that fell off a tinker's cart and was never missed. John seems harmless just the same. He has found work north of here. He leaves in the morning. My aunt can be a harsh judge when she has a mind to. There are only two rooms. The Delaneys sleep on the floor in one, and Aunt Nora and me in the bed in the kitchen. Beside the bed, there are two benches, a table, and a rocking chair near the fireplace. Aunt Nora is proud of the large stone fireplace at the end of the room. She said 'tis a great comfort come winter. Winters can be fierce, she says. There is only one tiny window to let light in. Aunt Nora urged me to go to bed. I told her I wanted to talk some more. I wanted to tell her about Alice O'Donnell. She said I could barely keep my head up, which was a fact, and that there would be plenty of time tomorrow. Saturday, July 10th, 1847. Lowell. 'Twas the best night's sleep I've had in a long time. I dreamt Molly and Sophie were safe at home, but not Brendan. I didn't know where he was and decided to look for him. 'Twas getting darker by the minute. I didn't want to leave the twins alone, but I had no choice. I had a serious talk with them. Got down on one knee, I did, so I could look both in the eyes. I told them I was going to look for Brendan, that he should have been home by now. They nodded like they understood, but they can fool you, those little ones. I told them they had to promise not to leave and not to open the door for anyone, no matter what. I got up, put on my cloak, and wrapped it tight around me. For the night was cold, I turned to take one last look at their shiny faces. They smiled and said, "No matter what, Mary, no matter what," and then giggled. Then I awoke. Aunt Nora was sitting in her rocking chair. It took me a while to remember where I was. Mrs. Delaney and her son were nowhere to be seen. Praise God. I so wanted to talk to Aunt Nora about Alice O'Donnell. I was only going to say a little, but once I began, there was no stopping me. It just came spilling out. Aunt Nora, bless her heart, listened patiently while I told her the sad tale. When I was done, she asked if Mr. Quinn knew what had happened to cause the poor girl to find herself so alone. I told her that she thought she must have come to America with someone, that her family must not have been able to care for her properly back in Ireland. They must have believed she would be better off in America. I remember Mrs. O'Donnell saying that 'twould be for the best. Mr. Quinn thinks whoever was with Alice O'Donnell did not survive the passage. I told Aunt Nora that I could not bring myself to tell Alice about her ma and da. I pray that I made the right decision. Sunday, July 11th, 1847. Lowell. I don't have to go to church today, Aunt Nora said. 'Tis better I rest. I am to be at the mills by 5:30 tomorrow morning. If I am late, the main gates will be closed, and I will have to enter through the counting house. 'Twould not be good to be late on my first day. Monday, July 12th, 1847. Lowell. Spinning room number 3 takes up the whole floor. There are long rows of machines lined up, one next to the other, as far as the eye can see. There are girls tending to them, and down the aisles. I cannot say how many machines there are, but there must be hundreds. Of that I am certain. Each was making the most awful hissing and whizzing sounds. The devilish noise came rushing down all around me like an endless waterfall. The sound was so great that the floor beneath my feet trembled. I could feel the thunderous sound come up from my legs. I feared I would cry out and run from the room, just to be rid of it. God help me. Mr. Fowler said that one of the girls would teach me my tasks. 'Twas nearly impossible to hear what he was saying. He had to holler right into my ear. He pulls on his red mustache and pops his damp brow with a handkerchief while he talks. He warned me not to daydream. 'Tis important to pay strict attention at all times and not to hold up the girls. I spied one of the Yankee girls watching me while Mr. Fowler yelled into my ear. She gave me a quiet start. Seeing her was like looking into a mirror. She has the same green eyes and the same honey red hair I do. Lucky girl, she does not have freckles. She looks older, maybe 17. Most of the girls look older than me. The girl looked at me in a gentle way. Many of the girls were not looking at me so gently. My prayers were answered when Mr. Fowler called her over. She was waiting for his signal. Her name is Annie Clark. Mr. Fowler left us alone and returned to his desk at the far end of the room. He walks with his hands held behind his back, standing stiff and straight, like he must have swallowed a crowbar. Annie Clark explained that I am to be... Annie Clark explained that I am to be a bobbin girl. She showed me the wooden crates on rollers where the empty bobbins are kept, and how to doff the bobbins when they are filled with the spun yarn. Then I take them off the spinning frame and place them quickly with the empty ones. I must hurry so the spinning frames are not stopped long. While there are no bobbins to change, I can sit quietly and wait. There are four or five other Irish girls who do the same thing. The others are Yankee girls. A bell rang in the middle of the day, and Annie said she would be going to dinner. She showed me where I could sit. She showed me where I could sit outside. I watched her join the other Yankee girls who were streaming back into their boarding houses while I ate the hard-boiled egg Aunt Nora had fixed. The girls are as fine as fine, one prettier than the next, and they wear the sweetest dresses. I wish I had something to wear besides these rags. The boarding houses are made of red brick, just like the mills, but they are much smaller. There is row upon row of them, lined up neatly just across the canal. They are pretty, just like the girls who live there. I wonder what 'tis like inside. Friday, July 16th, 1847. Lowell. I have been so tired to write. Perhaps I will be able on Sunday, my only day of rest. Sunday, July 18th, 1847. Lowell. Went to St. Patrick's for the first time with Aunt Nora. She sings in the choir, and 'tis a beautiful voice she has. Tuesday, July 20th, 1847. Lowell. A letter from Sean. He and his uncle found a convent in Arlington where Alice will be cared for. Mr. Quinn believes she is in the proper hands now, and he will keep watch over her. Sean has had difficulty finding work. His first job was a long way from Boston. So many Irish were seeking work that they promised that the promised wages were lowered to 65 cents a day. Sean said they had to take what was offered. There were plenty of men ready to take their places. Sean found work in Somerville. The wages are better, but the work is difficult due to the heat of the day and the swamp nearby. He gives me no address. I do have Mr. Quinn's address in Boston, so I can write him if necessary. I'm glad that Alice O'Donnell is safe. By now she must know that her ma and Da. About her ma and Da. Before I left Boston, Mr. Quinn asked me what I had decided to tell Alice or not. Truth is, I hadn't decided anything. I think Mr. Quinn could see that. Leave it in my hands, he had said, and I was glad to do just that. Saturday, July 24th, 1847. Kate visited today. She was having tea with Aunt Nora when I returned from the mills. Saturday work is only a half day. As always, Kate had much news about herself. In 3 weeks, she is going away with Mrs. Abbott to visit Mrs. Abbott's sister. She lives in Boston, but spends her summers in Rhode Island. Mrs. Abbott has decided to join her because 'tis near the ocean and therefore much cooler. Kate boasts about how much Mrs. Abbott needs her. Yankee lady, she says, know that good help is precious. Kate thinks that being a servant for a rich lady is better than being a mill girl. She thinks that if she works for Mrs. Abbott and lives in Mrs. Abbott's house, she can act like Mrs. Abbott. Aunt Nora says that Kate's head was swelled quite a bit since she came to America. Mill work suits me just fine, 'twas all I said. I didn't want her to know that my bones ache, my ankles swell up, and my body throbs from head to toe at night. I didn't tell her that the spinning room is so noisy, I think it must be what hell itself sounds like. Still, I prefer work in the mills. Once I am done, my time such that 'tis is my own. Monday, July 26, 1847. Aunt Nora's leg is on the mend. Poor dear, it has never truly healed since she tumbled on the rocks back at home. But she is going around now without a cane. Tuesday, July 27, 1847. Lowell. My heart is filled with joy. When I got home, Aunt Nora was waiting with a letter from Skibbereen. 'Tis Father Maloney who writes Ma's letters. She sends greetings from the Connellys. Maureen wishes she could be here with me. Not nearly as much as I do. Sadly, Mr. and Mrs. Sweeney have fallen victim to the black fever. 'Twas to be expected. They were so very ill when I left. Ma and Da have not been evicted from our cottage thanks to the kindness of Mr. Hughes, the landlord. I pray to Heavenly Father each night that they will keep well enough. I pray to Heavenly Father each night that they will I pray to Heavenly Father each night that they will keep well, even though they face great hardship. I pray I will be able to earn enough money to send for them before it is too late. Friday, July 30th, 1847. Lowell. Annie Clark spoke to me today. I have learned my tasks quickly and well. She said she is very proud of me, which made me blush, I'm sure. There is a need for another spinner just like her. If I am interested, spinning means I will be paid more money, so I said yes. I would like to be a spinner. Annie is going to speak to Mr. Fowler. Monday, August 2nd, 1847. Lowell. Mrs. Delaney cries in the night because she has not heard from her son. I wish she wouldn't cry. It makes me think back to the nights I heard Ma crying. Tuesday, August 3rd, 1847. Lowell. 'Tis raining again today. Rain all week. Thursday, August 5th, 1847. Lowell. Aunt Nora can put a fright into you if she has a mind to. She had a row with Mr. Byron's, who is also a teacher at St. Patrick's. She says Mr. Byron's hit wee Liam O'Neill. One of the students, Mr. Byron's, got it into his head that Liam was making fun of him behind his back. Liam said he did not, but Mr. Byron's hit him a number of times with a heavy strap. Aunt Nora said she has no call to be carrying on like that, and she is going to make him scratch where he doesn't itch. Friday, August 6th, 1847. Lowell. Annie Clark has spoken to Mr. Fowler. He is going to allow me to become a spinner. Annie has been very patient with me. She showed me carefully how to tend the spinning frame. I am to watch for breaks in the yarn. If there is a break, the machine stops. I piece together the two ends of the yarn with a small special knot that Annie showed me how to tie. Then I am to restart the spinning frame. Annie won't leave me on my own until I am ready. God bless her. Saturday, August 7th, 1847. Lowell. I told Aunt Nora the good news. She is proud of me, too.